reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually he thought, 'Well, it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Working and called by our bishop to fight like heaven, particularly, specifically in connection to defeating Proposal 3, and starting last week and going ahead for the weeks ahead, our readings are a wonderful opportunity to just pause and reflect and break open a little bit more. What are the spiritual weapons, so to speak, that God has given us? And how do we use them well? Because we are in a battle, but it's knowing and using heavenly weapons for a spiritual battle that all of us are a part of in this life. We're born into it, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, Satan, sin, and death. And so last week, Father Prabhu and I talked about Thanksgiving and focusing on, that's one of our heavenly weapons. Thanksgiving, dedicating ourselves to giving thanks to God always and everywhere. And that actually overcomes the lies, the temptations, the attacks against us, particularly or including ones connected to discouragement and fear and anxiety and pride and hopelessness and bitterness and self-pity and all the things, all the sins that those can lead to as well. Today's readings, especially the Gospel and the first reading, give us an essential, a powerful, perhaps the most important heavenly weapon that God gives us. And that's persevering, confident prayer. Persevering, confident prayer. Persevering prayer is sustained, animated by total confidence in God, and in some way no one but God. One of the great women of history, a young woman from France, lived not that long ago, died in 1897, known to many of us, Thérèse from Lisieux, now called Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And she's a saint. She's in heaven interceding for us. She was a Carmelite nun who died at a very young age of 24 from tuberculosis. But she's also a doctor of the church. She's someone that we hold up as saying, this was a wise person, and she was able to communicate the wisdom of God in some profound way, accessible to the rest of the church, and it's worth listening, paying attention to her, that she helps us to know Jesus, to know the truth, and for her, particularly in this area of confidence, and you might say persevering, confident prayer, but she used to say something again and again in various ways and lived it out, manifested the truth in her own life. I just quote one time that she wrote it to someone that she knew dear to her that was struggling with a difficult situation, dealing with difficulties, and also starting to actually struggle with, is God hearing me? Is he answering my prayer? What's going on? And so she said this, "One obtains from God as much as one hopes for. It is impossible that God will not respond to it." That's the other woman's need. "Because he always measures his gifts according to our confidence. One obtains from God as much as one hopes for. And God always measures his gifts according to our confidence." That's Jesus' point today in some way. Another great saint, Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Jesus, just put it succinctly, and she said, "Patience obtains everything. And when it comes to God, patience is expressed or lived out in persevering, confident prayer." Jesus, in this short parable given to us, he says, so that we wouldn't become weary, but he's not saying that God is like an unjust judge. He's not comparing God to that unjust judge, but contrasting him to help us to see kind of how much more. Jesus's point is, if we see how powerful and effective prayer or intercession is when the other person is an unjust, selfish, wicked individual, that it still obtains what is sought, how much more, this is Jesus's point, how much more should we approach God with confidence, because God is not unjust, that he is a just judge. And more than that, he's our good and merciful Father. Jesus's point at the same time is that there are places, areas in our life, needs and sufferings and issues that we're precisely meant to persevere in prayer for, that it requires a persevering but confident prayer. That confidence helps us not to become weary. Sometimes it's precisely so that we can grow in that hope, that faith that Jesus says, will we find faith on earth to grow in those with God. But that's his point. There's areas where that will be the type of prayer that's required. But Jesus' ultimate point in all of this is precisely that if we persevere in confident prayer, God is going to answer our prayer in the best way possible. It's impossible that he won't. It's absolutely certain that he will, because God is faithful and he can't deny himself, as we heard last week, because God is love and he can't do anything but love, because God is rich in mercy and he loves to pour out his riches upon those that he's made, and even those, even more those that he's made his own, his chosen, his beloved children. And so if confident, persevering prayer obtains everything, and that's Jesus' point today that it does, is this not then the most powerful weapon that we have? Heavenly weapon. There are challenges, you might say, or temptations against this type of prayer. Two words seem pausing on and noting. Reasons why we don't persevere in prayer. Why maybe our confidence is challenged and we stop praying. But one reason that we don't persevere in prayer can be that we don't feel a need to turn to God in that area of our life. That's okay. I got this under control. Things are good. And so we don't pray. We don't turn to God because we don't feel like I need God. That's one of the most dangerous places to be. We heard about that a few weeks ago, that complacency that the rich man had when it came to caring for Lazarus. At the same time, what can be connected to that is sometimes we turn to other things, the material good things, the comforts, the blessings of this world, to seek what we need, when really we should be seeking God. Whether it's comforts, entertainment, food, drink, other pleasures, that sometimes in the moment address the need. They make it better for a short term, but they don't go to the roots of the problem, and of course they make other things worse. Because those are good things, but they can't replace God, and our security and our fulfillment, they're meant to be found in God. These can be challenges to that persevering prayer, where our focus is on God. You know, St. Therese got this insight originally when she was younger from another saint now, but another Carmelite, a man named Juan, because he was from Spain, but St. John of the Cross. Those very words are the ones he said, and she came to, as she lived it, she came to see that it was true. But he expresses this point too. This is what he said. He said, God is so pleased with the hope of a soul that is unceasingly turned toward him. It hasn't stopped in any of their life to say, I got this, I'm okay. But unceasingly turned toward him without ever lowering its eyes to another object, that one can say in truth of this soul, it obtains as much as it hopes for. The other challenge that many of us can experience and face is that we feel that God hasn't answered our prayers in the past, and so why should we pray? That hoping in God sometimes disappoints, and so we stop praying. A big one can be the death of someone we love, someone we've been praying for, and someone who it seems so crucial that they'd still be with us, that they're young, they're a child, they're a parent with children at home, they're all of those important relationships. And we've prayed, even prayed with confidence for their healing. And they're not healed. And they die. And what can easily settle on our minds and hearts is, well, maybe hoping in God disappoints. Why should I pray? It might not be every area of our lives, but certain areas of our life, we don't pray anymore. And in that area as well, well, I guess that's it. No sense continuing to pray. If we find ourselves there, maybe it's to look to Jesus. And I would suggest as well the lives of the saints, but to be reminded about God's love for us, about the truth that he loves each of us personally by name, and that he's present, and that he's faithful, and he has a tender care for us, and he has the power to save, that it's not hopeless. And we can, again, we can repent, we can reject the lie that this is hopeless, this area, whatever in the moment seems like it's never going to change or it can't be addressed now because whatever it is seems final. We say, no, that's not true. I reject that lie, Jesus. And Jesus, I ask for that hope and that mercy. Again, focusing on the truths can help us to overcome that sense or the belief that God didn't answer my prayer, is not going to answer my prayer, can't or won't, for whatever reason. One of them is understanding the necessity and the power of the cross in our lives. That in this life, because of Jesus, we see that God has not just shown us the way to eternal life, but he's transformed those areas of suffering and even death into the very way that he brings life. And so in that regard, too, it's to remember and ask for that deeper understanding, to recall the truth about the resurrection. Then Jesus has been raised from the dead, he's risen, but also what that means, that God is saving us not just for this life, but for eternal life, that we're made not to live here forever, but we're meant to go to heaven and to be with him fully forever, and God willing, one another. It's to see there that God brings life where there's death. And so even in what seems in this life to be the final word, like someone has died, that that's not the end when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God. It's to remember, of course, that in Jesus, those who are in Jesus who have died, they're more alive than we are. Again, God is the only one who knows where our loved ones are, but that precisely for that reason, to keep turning to him. And sometimes, like many of the saints before us, what is most on our heart is perhaps not where our loved one is, but what they've left behind, so to speak. The suffering, the challenges, the gap that's here. And Jesus today says, whatever it is, wherever it is, to keep bringing ourselves to him, that he's not holding back and that he's not waiting for us to figure something out, some special prayer. But when it seems like he's delayed, Jesus says, no, he's speedily answering our prayer. But until we get that answer that brings us peace and greater confidence in the Lord to keep praying, when we exercise this faith, the faith that our God is a good Father, that he's the creator and the king and the Lord of all of creation, over all nations, over all things, over sin and death, that he's a just and he's a merciful judge in my life. And we pray in that way. And that he's rescued us and that he's reconciled us and that he's even empowered us in this life to share in that work of reconciliation and rescue. That's as well where we begin, as we reflected on last week, to be able to give thanks even before the prayer is fully answered, because we're confident in who we're seeking and turning to. Thinking about proposal 3, we've been praying this 54-day rosary novena, about 30-some days ago now. If you haven't started joining in, that's great. great, join now. But we're persevering in prayer. And, you know, for the first 27 days, we were focused on, okay, here's the need. We're asking you, God, to help, to lead the way, to not let this proposal be passed. How extreme, how much wickedness, how much hurt and suffering it will bring. But just this past week, we shifted our focus a little, and we're still praying for that, but we're also giving thanks that our prayer has been heard, because we're confident in who we're praying for, and we're confident that we can and will answer this prayer. I don't know what's going to happen on November 8th when we go to vote as a state. Hopefully it'll be defeated. That's what we're praying and working for. That's what we know is going to be the best for everyone in our state. What if it gets passed? We keep persevering confidently in prayer. It's not that God didn't hear us or he couldn't answer that prayer, but there's more going on than we seem. Let me give just and conclude with two short examples that I've come across in my life of many, but where persevering prayer was answered in an unexpected way. One was I read, and someone told me about a gentleman who went to seek Silvanus Casey, Blessed Silvanus Casey at one point. Many of you know him. He was down in Detroit. That's where he was beatified several years ago. Maybe you went, but he was a Franciscan monk who, for many years of his life, gifted with the gift of healing, among others. And so thousands, hundreds of people sought him out for healing, for help. And the story this one man told was he was blind. I don't remember if he was born blind, but he'd been blind for many years at that point. He was still a young man and had been praying for healing, and he heard about Silvanus, so he went there and he met Silvanus. Silvanus prayed for him and he wasn't healed. And you know, this man now, I think he was in his 70s, but it was later in life, many decades later, he said, "I wasn't healed from my blindness, but I never experienced my blindness. From that day on, I never experienced my blindness as a burden, as some terrible thing in my life. I should be able to have great peace of heart. It was never a problem after that day." I had a teacher in the seminary, how she writes about her own life and how she has not experienced healing from chronic suffering and pain in her life in one area, you know, in her body, and how she's been praying for that healing for a long time. Uses herself as an example of, again, right, a challenge that could lead us to give up. And yet she shares how, because she persevered in that prayer, and as she's persevered confidently in that prayer, what she has received is a different type of healing, as she put it, but she's received a greater knowledge of how this suffering, this cross in her life, is leading to a deeper healing for her, a more important healing, a healing of her heart, and it's led to her experiencing less stress and more peace and relaxation and a greater awareness of God's will in her life, a great ability to follow it. And so as she put it in her words, she said, "All this is part of the answer to my prayer for physical healing, far beyond what I initially expected." You know, sometimes we say, I've heard this said many times, you know, when we pray, God either says yes, or he says no, or he says not yet. And there's some truth to that. I mean, sometimes God says something else, and it's like, I don't understand what that is, God. But if we've received a no, and we're not at peace with that, that doesn't increase our confidence in God and our ability to persevere confidently in prayer in other areas of our lives and to hope in God. Then keep praying. Don't go away from that sad or angry or discouraged or confused or disappointed, thinking that hoping in God disappoints. Keep praying. I don't understand why that's good, God. Why are you saying no here? Why is that the answer? Whatever it may be. Don't stop praying. There's an area of your life where you recognize, I think I have stopped praying. Maybe I just, well, that's how it is, and now I have to deal with it that way, and I don't see how that's good. Then keep praying. Start praying again. Go back to that prayer. Sometimes our prayer is, God, give me persevering prayer and confidence to be able to pray. Maybe that's our starting point. God has a way to answer every one of our prayers, your prayers, in the best way possible. If we persevere and we have that hope, one obtains from God, you obtain from God as much as you hope for. Persevering, confident prayer obtains everything. So let's continue to fight like heaven with persevering, confident prayer.